Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:27 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is May 22nd. Thought we'd kick off with Japan, and the TOPIX index is up 14 points and clearly breaking out of what's been a more than 2-year range. But what I think is more important here is that we have a very well-defined, exceptionally long base formation, and everything changed in 2012, because prior to that, what we'd had were rallies up to test the 1750 point level, and every time it failed, it dropped. And after 1995, each one of those was a new low. And then we had this big rally starting in 2012, and we got all the way back up to test the upper side of the range, didn't even quite get there. But then we had a higher reaction low, we had a higher high, we had another higher reaction low. And now, subsequently, we have the completion of a first step above the base. So, what this is clearly demonstrating now is that we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment for Japanese equities. Now, this is certainly being assisted by the relative weakness of the Japanese yen. So it's important to also look at it in other currencies. Now, if we zoom out and look at the same amount of back history as we'd had previously, well, then what we can still see is that the range that's been underway is much more volatile when redenominated into US dollars, but for a good part of that long period, the yen was actually quite firm relative to the dollar. So, in fact, in US dollar terms, the TOPIX got all the way up to test its 1989 peak back in 2021 and now is recovering once more. So, the Japanese market is becoming more attractive both to domestic and foreign investors. Then let's think about what's happening in terms of the yen. Well, the Japanese Central Bank is quite adamant. They are in no mood to abandon their quantitative easing program, so the yen continues to depreciate. Now, what this is going to start to create tension between Japan and some of the countries with whom it competes for business. So we can see, for example, that in when we look at the yen versus the euro is breaking higher and is coming back up into the region of the peaks from back in 2006 through 8. And you've got to go back an awfully long time to see when the yen was trading weaker than even that. Then this is also going to be a major point of contention for South Korea. And they're not going to be in a hurry to raise rates when the won is appreciating relative to the yen. You can see that the range has been underway now for quite some time. And this is already high relative to where it was back in 2008 through 12. But South Korea and Japan compete in many of the same markets. What I thought was interesting today was the South Korean chip makers basically saying that they're going to go out and buy whatever China doesn't buy in terms of their chip capacity. Now, the share had popped on the upside last week. Then all of the headlines were that it was collapsing in here today, but that's not true at all. It certainly gapped lower and then bounced off of the $65 level and the upper side of what is really quite a well-defined base formation. So there's certainly a lot of action happening in the semiconductors sector right now, and some of it is certainly about repositioning around what kind of chips will be exported to China, which won't, and China and Chinese companies rushing to acquire as many of them as possible. But then, of course, you have all the excitement around the artificial intelligence sector. So that's going to require a lot of data centers. So Then, of course, you have companies that focus on just that one piece of real estate. So, Digital Realty Trust collapsed in 2022. And there's a good reason for that it's we had the big decline in cloud computing. We had a lot of companies that lost a lot of customers and were not able to sustain their growth rates. And then, of course, we have the demise of all of those startups who had outsourced the build out of their networks to cloud companies rather than doing it themselves. So when we had the big stock market decline in 22, then that really did hit the data center real estate market. But if we get fresh build out of demand for data centers and even more data centers being built, well, it's reasonable to anticipate that at least some of the existing data centers will become more attractive. Now, the unique characteristic of these types of assets is that they do pay a yield of about 5%, which isn't something you're going to get from something like Nvidia, for example. Now, Nvidia has been rapidly pricing in the full potential of the AI revolution, and share was is pausing now, I think, around the 2021 peak, and having rallied so spectacularly, one really does have to question how much value is still in, available to the share to continue to rally. So a lot is going to depend on what happens in terms of interest rates. But certainly, we're getting a bit of catch-up plays in some of the alternatives. So AMD, for example, remains in positive territory and holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. So that's certainly something that will be, I think, gaining the attention of investors. What we also started to see in here today was that quantum computing shares are starting to gather attention. And that was on news from physics.org that some innovations have been made in terms of how error rates in quantum computers can be corrected. So we had very meaningful moves higher in several of those quantum computing type sectors. Now, what this really is helping to highlight is there is a big argument going on because we've had a huge bull market in terms of innovation, and now we're getting the winnowing effect. Some of these businesses will succeed, some will not. And I think then we have, even within different sectors, we can think about the electric charging networks. So, Blink Charging, it was in positive territory today, but it's been trending down in a really profound manner for the last 2 years. So, could it unwind the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average? And when something like this rallies from 7 to 13, then that would be almost a double, but it would still be in a downtrend. So I think there is obviously the potential that on maybe some enthusiasm around the prospect of a successful deal to raise the USA's debt ceiling, then that could be potentially beneficial for some of these companies for at least a reversionary rally. But they haven't really come up with an answer yet how to ensure that the chargers they're installing are effective. And ChargePoint's another good example of that, they're trying to access all of this money that was promised to build out a charging, a national charging network in the USA. But that would appear to be the basis of their business model, that they simply want to get the funds from the government for doing it. They're not, or at least they don't seem to be all that enamored with the idea of providing reliable service. So then Tesla, with its own charging network, is probably going to be one of the bigger beneficiaries there. Now, the share is rallying back towards the region of the 200-day moving average to challenge the sequence of lower rally highs. And it's perhaps getting some credit finally for its own investments in artificial intelligence and automation over the last decade, even if it doesn't have an awful lot to show for it. So this, of course, also helps to highlight that most of the innovation that we've seen in the last 6 months has been around large language models, which basically is that you have computer programs that can sound like a human when writing or speaking. And that so far is the limit of what has been innovated upon. Now, of course, there's incredible promise, and there are incredible opportunities that could be availed of, but it's the large language model has really been the primary thing that has gained attention recently, whereas Tesla has been trying to develop autonomous driving now for a decade, have continually overpromised and underdelivered, and I think that has certainly weighed on the share. I do also think that within the EV market, within the charging markets, it's probably going to be a very small number of companies eventually dominate, and a lot of these less well-capitalized companies will eventually go bust. And I think that's one of the reasons why Shell bought Volta about 6 weeks ago. They've basically been quite vocal in saying that they want to ensure that whatever they invest in terms of green energy, can pay its way and will be profitable. And what they're obviously trying to do is to become an electric utility focused on the transportation sector, and in a manner very similar to owning petrol stations. And Shell continues to pause here at the upper side of what is a really profoundly long-ranging phase. Now, when we then think about how are various stock markets performing, well, the Dow Jones was in negative territory in here today, so still hovering here between the 200-day moving average and the psychological 35,000 level. The NASDAQ 100, led higher by the largest cap companies, was also in positive territory. So certainly pulling away from the region of the 200-day moving average in the short term. And then we had some Fed officials walking back some of what Jay Powell had to say on Friday, where he was basically saying that the Fed is going to pause. You've got some Fed officials saying that there might be a need for at least another two interest rate hikes. 10-year yields are marching north once more. Now, I find this really quite puzzling that we continue to have stress within the sovereign bond markets. And then we can think about the high yield markets. And there's a higher reaction low, and the ETF was in positive territory in here today. So there's still a real there's demonstrable evidence that investors are willing to bet that we will have a soft landing, and that the excesses of the pandemic were temporary, that inflation will return to trend and will not be problematic, that we're not in for a deflationary shock, that growth will persist, and that the number of unemployed people will stay low, and that because inflation will just simply come down, then everything will just revert to trend in a very orderly manner. It's certainly something that we can all wish for, but at the same time, it's also something that I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't in fact occur. Now, oil prices have held a sequence of higher reaction lows all month and are still trading below the $80 level, so they haven't really moved very far. And natural gas is certainly being devilishly difficult to trade. So anytime it rallies, it gets hit back down again, and that's exactly what happened. In here today, it was down 18 cents. So, certainly, clearly demonstrating that the best way to buy commodities is on weakness. Now, gold prices were down a tad in here today, and certainly not pushing up back or back up into the overhead trading range. When we look at this on a weekly basis, it is still somewhat overextended relative to the 200-day moving average, and that was a good size downward dynamic yesterday or last week. And it's at least near-term evidence of resistance in the region of that 2000 level, which is fairly predictable that it would pause around such a big psychological level. I do think, though, that if it were to come back down to test the region of the 200-day moving average, that would be a really attractive entry opportunity. I don't believe the dollar's rally is going to persist indefinitely, and it is now back testing its own 200-day moving average. So this is a key point where decisions will be made about the sustainability of the US dollar uptrend in an environment where it is very likely they're going to raise the debt ceiling and then print a ton of new money. And soybean prices bounced today from the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So that's the first evidence of support starting to come back in. It is looking increasingly likely that the first named storm of the season will hit Florida over the coming days. It's unlikely to be a hurricane. But it is likely to hit the middle of the panhandle, or well, the middle of the peninsula, I should say, and that is likely to have an impact on orange juice prices. So they were limit up in here today and continue to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows. So there's certainly a lot of activity going on in stock markets, and particularly within the more speculative branch of the market, and that's certainly moving on the assumption that interest rates are going to come down, liquidity is going to become abundant, and the recession will be avoided. Whereas I think the more likely scenario is that interest rates will come down, but in response to a recession. And I think the biggest difference from what we've seen in the past isn't so much that the inverted yield curve is irrelevant, but rather that so much cash was made available to consumers in 2020 and 2021 that it's simply taking time for all that cash to be unwound, for interest rates to have the knock-on effect, and also then for the turnover in spending to eventually result in a turnover in the workforce. So I think an increasing number of economists are thinking that a recession is probably going to start in the back half of the year, and it might even be sometime in 2024. But the higher that we see some of these highly speculative assets moving, then that it is quite likely that we get the strength in the market as long as the yield curve spread is trending downwards, and it has steadied recently. But generally, it is when the yield curve starts trending higher. That is usually when it is trending up through zero. That is usually when you get the worst of the selling pressure within the stock market. So I don't believe it's going to be all plain sailing, and I think that this is the time to be quite diligent with stops. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.